Well, since it is December, near the end of the semester, we are going to have a final exam. So if Otto can give us this final exam. Question one, who is the most important person in Christianity? Is it Billy Graham? You're supposed to mark down your answers quietly. Is it Tim LaHaye, who wrote the most popular books? Is it Pope Benedict, who leads the largest number, the largest segment of Christianity? Or is it James Dobson, who founded Focus on the Family? All right, mark your answers down. All right, let's go to question two. Who is the most important person in our denomination, Grace Communion International? Is it the president? Name not mentioned. Is it the superintendent of ministers? Or is it the director of pastoral training? How about the church planting coach for new churches for new generations? All right, you've all selected your answer. Let's go to question three. Who's the most important person in New Life Fellowship? Surely you've got opinions on this. Is it who sets up the sound system? Is it the worship leader? Is it the pizza man? Or is it whoever donates the most? Secret. Well, the disciples once asked Jesus a similar question, except their terminology, of course, was a little different because they were had different circumstances. And I'd like for us to look at Matthew 18, starting in verse number 1. About that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked him, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Yeah, who's the most important person? And religion and spirituality. Who's on the top rung of the ladder? Who's got the most power? Who's got the most influence? Who is closest to God? Well, the disciples were not asking out of intellectual curiosity. This was not an academic question for them. They didn't just want to get the right answer on a multiple choice test. No, they wanted to know about the greatest because they wanted to be the greatest. You know, and if there's going to be a great banquet in heaven, who's going to be on the head table? Yeah, who's going to be sitting next to the Messiah? What would it be like to be there? What does it take to be in a position of greatest honor? Well, some of the positions are probably already taken. Abraham's probably going to be there. You know, he's going to be in the top spot. Elijah, Isaiah, surely they're going to be there too. But maybe we can be close to them. If only it was we knew what we were aiming for. So what do we need to go up the ladder of spiritual success? What does it take to be counted among the greatest in the kingdom of God? Well, you know, at this point in their training, the disciples were not exactly spiritual giants. They were thinking about the kingdom pretty much in physical terms, like the kingdom of Israel in the days of David and Solomon, or maybe like the Roman Empire, except with a Jewish emperor. All the money and the power would flow to Jerusalem, and you know the disciples would like to be near the center of that. So they ask, "Who's going to be the greatest in your kingdom? What qualities and characteristics are you looking for? What do we need to be in the top rung, the upper class, the chief executive officers of the kingdom of God?" And so, in verses 2 and 3, Jesus called a little child to him. The Greek word there refers to a child that's able to walk, but not yet at puberty. Child might be, say, Ashley, or Zion. Anyway, so Jesus asked the child to come over. The child did. Jesus put the child among the disciples, and he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven." I've paraphrase it. It says, look, guys, you want to be the greatest in the kingdom? Well, you better change the way you're thinking or you're not going to be there at all. That's kind of a slap in the face. I'm not sure what tone of voice Jesus used. He might have been shaking his head and thinking, what am I supposed to do with these guys? How am I supposed to bring in a new world when they were so steeped in the old world? They haven't even gotten to first base yet. They can't even hit the ball, and they're asking for reserve spots in the Hall of Fame. So he says, you've got to change. The Greek word there means to turn. Turn around, go the other way. So you guys are thinking about being the greatest? Well, quit. The first thing you've got to think is about being there at all. Don't think about going to the moon if you can't go to Monrovia. Well, I will give the disciples credit for one thing. They were asking the right person, as some of you got the first answer right. Jesus is the greatest in the kingdom. And he knows what he's talking about. He knew what it took for him to be in the top spot. And the advice that he gives to the disciples and to us is something that he's willing to do himself. He's already followed his own advice. He has been there and done that. And now he can lead others to follow him through the same process. And what's his advice? Become like little children. You, Peter, you need to become like a little child, like EJ. This is Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, that leader of Iran that Jason was talking about. He needs to become like Ashley Myers. Bill Gates. All the billionaires, they need to become like Rizal. Everybody here needs to become like a little child. And each year at the Christmas season, we are reminded that Jesus did exactly that. He did not become like a child. He became a child. He was a baby in a manger. His parents had to flee to Egypt to save his life. He was a toddler. A little boy helping clean up his father's carpentry shop. He knows exactly what it's like to be a little child because he was one. He knew what kind of advice he was giving the disciples. Become like little children. That's step one in getting into the kingdom. And it's all the other steps too. The way you get in is also the way that you be great. You have to be like little children. But how do we do that? It's like Nicodemus asked Jesus, how does that work? I can't go back in the womb and be born all over again. So what does this figure of speech mean? In what way am I supposed to be like a little child? You know, when we think of little children, we can think of specific children. We know, you know, EJ, Annika, Gian, Caitlin. We can think of specific qualities that they have. Joy, innocence, laughter, energy, faith. Or if you're into child development, you can think of a child who thinks that two half cookies are just as good as two whole cookies. Well, all of these characteristics are good, but Jesus isn't talking about any of them. In verse 4, he tells us what he's talking about. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is greatest in the kingdom of God. We need to be humble. We need humility. But what does that mean? Oh, shucks, it's just me. I'll never amount to anything. I'm sorry I'm taking up space, breathing your air. No, it doesn't mean that. How about, I'm the most ugly, most stupid person on the planet, and I don't deserve anything except a beating. Well, that's not humility either. It's not the attitude of Jesus, and it's not the attitude that especially characterizes his kingdom and his way of life. So what did Jesus mean by humility? In context, the disciples were asking about social rank in the kingdom, and that's the way Jesus answered them in terms of social rank. The term humility could refer to social rank. And what social rank did children have in that society? Nothing. On one hand, they were blessings from the Lord, but on the other hand, child mortality rates meant that you didn't invest too much hope in any one child. Children had no rights of their own. If a father beat his daughter and broke her arm, the neighbors would think that the father had an anger problem. But there would be no child protection services coming to take the child away. It was his child and his problem. Children had no rights and no social status. And so when the disciples were asking Jesus about having the highest social rank in the kingdom, Jesus called a child to come and be with him. It's not that Jesus looked at the child as the least, but he knew that the disciples probably did. The culture looked at it that way. The child then became an object lesson for all of us. So you want to be the greatest in the kingdom? Well, you've got to change your way of thinking on that. You have to turn around and look the other way. Instead of setting your sights on the highest position, you need to set your sights on the lowest. You won't even be in the kingdom unless you set your sights on the lowest position, because that's what the kingdom of God is all about. It's not about rank. It's about people of low status. Because, truth be told, all of us are low status. When it comes to spiritual significance, when somebody is looking down on Earth from the space station, it doesn't matter much whether you are on a tall mountain or in a deep valley. You are way, way down there. And spiritually, that's where all of us are in comparison to God. And then there's not much point about us arguing about who's the greatest. And like I said, Jesus is not telling us to do something that he's not willing to do himself. He was way, way up there, and he came down here. Not as a Superman, but as a little baby. Not as a prince in a palace, but a baby born in a stable. He didn't get 5-star accommodations. There was no Blue Cross health care coverage. When Mary went to the temple to make an offering after the birth, she gave the offering that was designated for poor families. Jesus was a refugee in Egypt. The firstborn son of a blue-collar worker. Firstborn sons had to do the most work, especially after the father dies. Jesus was a Jew living in the land occupied by Romans. He had carried the Roman pack a mile or two, maybe several times. He had felt the sting of injustice, prejudice, ridicule. In this season of the year, when we think about the birth of Jesus, we are thinking about the greatest example of humility, of someone who moved down the ladder from the very top rung to the bottom rung. And that's what it takes to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Jesus became like a child. The prince of the universe became a pauper in his own kingdom, not for a few days, just as an experiment, but for 33 years, and then they killed him. He claimed divine privileges to help other people, but not to help himself. He became in social status like a child. If you want to be in the kingdom, Jesus is saying, you need to be like a child. The kingdom of God isn't a place where people strive for status. It's a place where people strive for service, to help other people, to esteem others more important than ourselves. You know, if we had an eternity of social jockeying, you know, that would be a frustrating eternity. You'd never know when somebody might jerk the rug out from underneath you to pull you down so they can climb up. If you want to enjoy the life of the kingdom for eternity, you can't be worried about who the greatest is, because that way of thinking isn't part of kingdom life. People in the kingdom are not worried about social status. Jesus isn't looking out for number one. He was number one, and he looked out for everybody else. He was willing to give it up to serve other people, and he is still willing to give it up to serve other people. He's in heaven right now as our intercessor, our mediator, serving us. That's the way he is. That's the way he wants us to be. Doesn't mean that we grovel in the dirt and moan about how poor we are. It doesn't mean that we shrink back because we're so insignificant. Jesus didn't do any of that. And true humility doesn't mean any of that. When we focus on our low rank, we are too rank conscious and basically thinking too much about ourselves. We don't intentionally humiliate ourselves in an effort to look more humble. We are not constantly apologizing for our status in life. We don't seek the lowest jobs in church so that we look more humble. Nor do we avoid the lowest jobs. We do them because they need to be done. We happen to be there. We're not worried about whether we get credit, whether anybody notices. We just do it. We can have humility in our relationship with God, but the real test of humility is in our relationship with other people. And that's what Jesus gets to in verse 5. Anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me. If we are humble like a child, then we are going to welcome other children. That means people ages 2 to 12, but it really means everybody else too. If we view ourselves as of low social status, then we are going to be able to welcome everyone else of low social status. And we do it on behalf of Jesus. That's the sort of thing that he would do. That's the thing that he did. The literal translation of this is we do it in the name of Jesus, as if we are his representatives. And when we do it, then we are welcoming Jesus. Jesus is in both places in this interaction. The person who welcomes is representing Jesus, doing it on behalf of Jesus. And the person who is welcomed is also in the place of Jesus because Jesus identifies with that person as well. Jesus is putting himself in the social position of that little child or person. Really, everybody is the same social status here. The greatest person in the kingdom is Jesus, and we are to treat everyone as if they were the greatest, because he sees himself in the people with lowest status. We are to treat everyone as if they were the lowest. It gets kind of confused there. It basically has turned our ideas about social rank upside down and then upside down again until there's really no status left, except that we are all children of God. Now, the Pharisees liked status. They were ordinary human beings, I think. In their way of thinking, religion had a lot to do with status. It was important to know who was in, who was out. Who could you eat with? Who should you avoid? They were, figuratively speaking, saving the best seats for themselves. The rabbis sometimes compared the kingdom of God to a banquet in heaven. And it was a great banquet, you know, hosted by the king. If the kingdom was like a banquet, then the Pharisees were pretty sure they'd have the most important seats there. But Jesus was coming along and inviting other people. He would take a person who had leprosy and heal him and say, "Friend, come up higher." He was taking the Pharisees and saying, "Friend, you have overestimated your importance. Could you please give up this seat near the front so that this leper can sit here? In your life, you had plenty of good things. This poor fellow hasn't had much, so to make things fair, we need to let him come up front for a little while." Jesus was humiliating the people who thought they were on top, exalting the people who seemed to be on the bottom. And it took the disciples a little while to catch on to this. They didn't seem to consider the idea that fishermen are not the most likely candidates for being honored at the royal banquet. And yet, this is what Jesus was doing for them. They shouldn't worry about being the greatest. They should be thankful that they could be there at all. The rich and the famous were turning the invitation down. The king was now sending his servants out to the highways and byways to invite the lame, the poor, the blind. And that's why we can be included. We are the lame and the blind that Jesus wants to be at his party. Now, how would you like to be invited to a party of poor people, of lame people, of blind people, of people that everyone else looked down on? Attending this party is not going to help your social status a bit. And yet, that is the kind of party that Jesus is throwing. Jesus is saying, if you're worried about being the greatest, then you're probably not going to want to come to my party, because it's not about the greatest. If you think yourself worthy of greatness, you're probably not going to come. This party is not about status. It's about service. It's about helping other people, loving other people. Everyone is welcome to come to the party, Jesus is telling us. But let me tell you what it's going to be like. What will the party be like? You can decide whether to come. On one side of the party is there's going to be Lazarus, this sick beggar who died at the gate of a rich man. On another side is going to be an old widow who had only 2 copper coins to give. And over here is Zacchaeus, this white-collar criminal who stole a lot of money, gave it back. And there's Mary, who had this severe mental illness caused by demons. There's the prodigal son who fed pigs. And there's a bunch of other odd characters, and that's why we can be there. It's a bunch of losers. And we're welcome because we are losers. And the host of the party is the biggest loser. He was born in a stable and killed on a cross. He's got nail marks in his hands. He still seems to like shepherds and poor people. The local seminary kicked him out. His family said he was out of his mind. And so if you go to that kind of party, why would you worry about status? If you want to be important at that kind of party, then you need to become like a little child and just happy to be there. That's what a party is supposed to be like. It's about having a good time, about having a good time for all eternity. It's not about climbing social ladders. Reminds me of some of the times in my childhood. When I was in elementary school, I was usually the smallest kid in the class. And, well, I got kind of used to being low status. When I went to high school, I remember the feeling of fright as I walked the halls and everybody was bigger than me. Some of those guys could pick me up, throw me around. And there have been many times in my life when I felt like I was just a kid. I think a lot of us have that experience. We know we don't deserve positions of honor in the kingdom, but we know that Jesus is inviting us. He wants us to be there. Not because we are great, but because He is great. And He wants us to be there. So if you have a Christmas party or go to a Christmas party, remember to be like a little child. Don't be childish in your thinking, but be like a child in the estimation of your own importance. Remember that the holiday is about Jesus as a little child, a baby with no rights, no status in the world, no privileges. He came to help other people because that's the way He is. That's the way His world operates. That's the way He wants us to operate too. It's a children's party. Now we see a similar thing in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. In some ways it's a parallel passage, but it's has spells things out a little differently so we can help see what's going on there. Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 33. I'll just read through it. After they arrived at Capernaum and settled in a house, Jesus asked His disciples, "What were you discussing on the road?" But they didn't answer because they had been arguing about which of them was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12 disciples over to Him and said, "Whoever wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else." Then He put a little child among them, taking the child in His arms. It must have been about EJ's size. He said to him, "Anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes not only me, but also the Father, my Father who sent me." It's a similar story, but this time, instead of saying that we must become as little children, Jesus says in verse 35, "Whoever wants to be first must take last place and be servant of everyone else." The meaning is the same. If you want to have the highest status, then take the lowest status. Not because you will eventually be exalted, but because it's the right thing to do. Yes, we will all eventually be exalted, but humility isn't a game in which we sacrifice for a little while in a calculated move to get more for ourselves later. That's not real humility. If we're really humble, then we are quite happy to stay in lower status. It's like the Apostle Paul said, we need to be content in whatever status we're in. I think here of the patriarch Joseph, who was kidnapped and sold into slavery in Egypt. And instead of moaning about the injustice and this miserable turn in life, he decided to be the best slave that he could be. And when he was thrown into prison, he decided to be the best prisoner that he could be. And eventually things turned out for him, but even if they didn't, he had done the right thing. So, what does this taking the last place look like in practice? Jesus said we should be the servant of everyone else. We need to be the best servant we can be in the circumstances that God places us in. That's what Jesus did. He became like a little child for us. We need to become like little children in our attitudes to one another. If we have to think in terms of status, then this is how it works. When we deal with somebody else, we treat them like they're higher status, because that's what Jesus did for us. And when we come across somebody that's truly low class, we need to welcome them, because that's what Jesus did for us when we were really low class. And Jesus says that when we welcome them, we welcome Him too. Jesus loves the little children. He loves people of low status, so much so that He became a child Himself of low status. And He invites us to His party. He invites us not because we deserve it, but because of His grace as a gift. And the better we realize what a gift it is for us to be invited, then the more willing we are to welcome other people. Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of God? It's Jesus, the little child. It's Jesus on the cross. It's Jesus in heaven now serving our needs. It's Jesus in every man and woman and child who helps other people. The greatest evangelist we know of is the Apostle Paul, and he said it well. It's not me. It's Jesus living in me. That was not a pretense, but it was the truth. Jesus gets the credit. Jesus is really great, and his greatness is demonstrated in his love, in his willingness to serve, and his willingness to be a little child. So may all of us participate in that sort of greatness.